Welcome to Over for Coffee. This is the podcast where we invite our friends and family over for coffee and talk about all things community and creativity. In this episode, we continue our conversation with Jenny Ellard. We talk about authentic community and our need for connection. Come on over for coffee.
So you talked about, and it sounded a little bit about like what like your ideal like community would be like. So kind of like, let's talk about that a little more. what would that look like? I mean, obviously someone listening, caring, but I mean, like thinking about it, I guess, and we'll just use this example, but like think about it like in a church context, like what would an ideal church community look like for you?
I mean, I think we do really well, but I guess ideally community would just be that everybody knows me and I know them. Like it wouldn't be a surprise, like when I see them or, you know, something happened in their life and me not know it, or at least having touched on it. Like it's everybody, you know, knowing each other and being okay with each other. Like, you know, I mean, that's just, for me, community just means that we're loving each other no matter what.
It's unity,
definitely. Yeah. Even, and I feel like that outside of church too, like work community, you know, whatever, my hobby community, like my, you know, when I'm walking down the street, I'm, you know, I'm right, talking to my neighbors and, you know, and doing, but, and I get that that's not everyone, but I think that everyone needs community or else, you know, we will suffer socially and as a church. I mean, like we have to be able to, you know, have a community of just, because as believers, we're all different, but we all need connection and we all need touch and we all need to know that somebody cares, you know? And so for me, that's the community that I'm always looking for, people that care for each other. Yeah. And that, you know, will be there for each other, you know, and understand each other, even if it's things that we don't quite get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think of when I think of unity and community, for whatever reason, what comes to mind for me is when God tells Joshua and Israel to march around Jericho.
Yeah.
And they do it together.
Yeah.
Not really having a full understanding of maybe why.
Yeah.
Other than they know that God was going to go before them.
Yeah.
They needed to do this together. And I think of that like in context of like worship. I think of that in context of like serving, you know, like we did with Convoy Hope. Like something absolutely beautiful happens when God's people come together and say, we are going to do this.
Yeah.
So like even like going to the book of Acts, right? When they say, hey, they were all in one mind and one, like they were united together. They had a sole purpose together. And so I think of, you know, hey, like something beautiful happens when we come together and we come together on a Sunday or a Wednesday when we gather together and we say we're going to worship together.
Yes.
Or we're going to do this together. We're going to serve together. And when that happens, I think things start to change for not just our church, but also for the community that we serve.
Yeah, if there's not authentic, like even before we walk into that sanctuary, if there's not authentic community, we won't have authentic worship. I don't think so. I think it would be very difficult because, you know, when we come into a room, when we know each other, and when we've had community outside of that, when we've had a cup of coffee with someone, when we know that, you know, that they just got a job or, you know, all those things make it personal. Yeah. And so when we walk into the sanctuary, we don't just have things to worship God about ourselves for, but others too. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you, Lord, for healing so-and-so. Thank you, God, for, you know, for giving that person that $100 they needed. Like,
yeah,
it makes the experience so authentic and real, and makes God real.
Yeah.
You know, for not just ourselves, but those walking into our experience and our community.
Yeah.
That's true. We've talked about that several times, is, you know, we're planning out the worship lists and planning out preaching and thinking about, you know, we're saying, well, we don't know, you can't know where to go with all of that if you don't know what the people are going through.
Right.
Because
there's,
if you're
no
just
way.
You know, hey, oh, I made this plan, or I'm going to do this, or I'm just going to do whatever, and you're not talking to anybody throughout the week, you don't know what anybody has been through throughout the week, then you don't have the pulse of your of your community, mm-hmm. then you don't know how to minister effectively. And it's so true. You have to be able to text throughout the week or meet up with people. And how's it going? How did that turn out? How did this work out? What can we pray for you about? You know, on Wednesday nights, we have prayer. And it's been really good because no matter how many people have been there, when we get together at the end and we say, what's the prayer request? Then you find out, you know.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
And you don't find out unless you're there, unless you're part of it. And you have to be in it.
Yeah.
You know, whether introvert, extrovert, doesn't matter. Like, you have to be in it. Whether you think you're getting anything out of it or not, you don't realize that in the long term, you're part of that community. All the introverts like me have to be part of all of those things, all of those events, all of those times and places and fellowship. And, you know, we have to be part of that, even in our own way, quietly, silently.
Absolutely.
That's fine. You know, we are the person in the corner, you know, that you get to come talk to. But we have to be a part of that in order for us to know how to effectively minister and effectively just be in the community as a whole.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's really good. That's really good. I like that you're saying that.
Yeah. And I think, I'll use Esther and I as an example. Like we make a really good team. Like, you know, she might not want to go. It doesn't mean she doesn't care. You know, she might not be able, like, take that step, but she knows that I will. And I know that, you know, we're going to come back together and be like, okay, and then we'll tag team and be, you know, and handle the person or handle the situation, you know? So I'm a lot very much so of the sender outer, like, so, send me out, come on, put me in, like, I can do it.
Let me go.
Like, yeah. And just give me the, I'm like, just tell me what to do. Like, give me the plan. But I mean, we work really well together in that. And I think that's the thing that we have to understand, especially when it comes to community, is that, you know, there's always going to be the messenger and there's always going to be the one that you send out, but there's always, we need the people that stay, that, you know, that get the room ready, you know, that get the place ready for who we're bringing back. And I think that's, you know, we all work as a team. And I know Esther and I for years, and we get this about each other, like, well, I'm really, my strength in that is her weakness, and her, you know, her strengths are my weakness. Like, I couldn't put a plan together to save my life, but boy, Esther Puente can.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. And together we can, you know, do both. Okay. Send me out and tell me what to do.
I literally told someone like this past week, I'm not going to go, but I am sending Jenny. Yeah,
So once again, this brings me back full circle, right? So some of us plant, some of us water.
Oh, no, Lord. You are not going to be me.
Defend yourself. Come on.
So how do we stay open? Like, what advice would you give us? Because we know that in church, in community, in any community, right? There is the opportunity, well, not the opportunity, but there's a possibility of being hurt.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, like, how do we continue to move on, and how do we heal, or do we heal? Are we constantly, like, you know, does God expect for us to be constant, like, wounded warriors as we continue to move on from person to person? I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts around that?
I mean, I think when people say, well, I might get hurt, and my answer is always, well, you will.
You will.
Like, you just will. And I think, but you can't keep that from letting you, you know, get into a friendship or a relationship, because, you know, Jesus was, if you look at, he was hurt constantly.
Yeah.
You know, his reputation and who he was, and, you know, but I think it's really important to know that, listen, you're going to get hurt. Like, that's just part of it. But I think, especially in relationships, because I'm really relational. It's true. I know that I will get hurt. There's going to be times there, but I know that God, in the process as I'm going on from that hurt, God is healing me. You know, that there, God is sufficient and, you know, enough to give me everything I need to keep going. And I've been hurt plenty of times, lots of times. But I've never, I think the thing is, never let it turn into bitterness. Never let it turn into like a, you know, a suitcase you have to keep carrying around, because it will, you know, hurt. You'll end up hurting is what it's going to happen. And I was I love the picture of this this warrior pictures I love, but not like the ones that are all like, you know, with the all the armor and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I love the ones where they have limited armor. And there, and you see the skin that's scratched up, and you see the skin that is, you know, you see the scars, and you mm-hmm. see bloodiness. And I feel like, I mean, it sounds crazy because relationships can be bloody sometimes, you know. Yeah. But people need to know that you're willing to put yourself in harm's way for them, that you're willing to get hurt by them. Because you love them, because you care for them, because God is able to do it. Like, there's been so many times I'm like, I don't know how you're going to fix this or how we're going to move on from this. And God always does it. But as a believer, man, you got to be willing to get into the fight, even if it's that person that's going to, you know, give you a good one across the cheek. It just
would you say it's worth it?
Oh, man. Every time. Hit me, kick me, but let me love you. Let me be there.
You're not talking physically at all, by the
no,
way.
No, no, no. I'm just talking like emotionally and but I mean emotionally and your reputation and you know, and there's been so many times when people have come back to me and said, "Man, I'm sorry." Even if I don't get an apology, I'm okay with that. Like, it's cool. Like, it's fine, but people are always going to be worth it to me cuz I'm worth it to God every time.
Yeah.
And people are always worth it to me, always. Like, even when I go, like, I was talking to someone, they were like, "But you knew you would get hurt."
Yeah.
I was like, "Yeah. Are you stupid?" I'm like, "No, they're worth it." Because the hope and the reward is that they're going to come away, you know, knowing that somebody would fight for them, even though they weren't worth the fight, somebody would still do it. You know? And so I feel like every time I do it, I always am reminded by God that, man, I'm worth it to you. Thank you, Lord, that I, you know, that I'm worth the fight, that I'm worth, like, you know.
Because somebody fought for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he fights for me. I mean, I have friends that fight for me, and I want to repay that over and over again.
So let's talk about boundaries, though. I mean, because it sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, definitely.
To me.
It sounds intense.
I'm like, this is a lot of intensity that would keep me from, you know, getting into it. So, as far as boundaries, how do you establish boundaries with people who do want to take advantage of you or who are trying to test that limit with you?
Right.
Or, you know, who are just like, you know what, that they might be wanting to take advantage of you or something.
Yeah.
Because even though what we're hoping for is like
good,
solid community, sometimes people aren't ready for that.
Yes. No,
and
definitely.
They don't know how to live in that. So how do you establish boundaries and, you know, just sort of say, okay, but I have my own life and I have my own children to take care of. And, you know, so how do you do that?
I mean, for me, it's always say no. Like, no, it's okay to say no when you can't do something. It's okay. Or it's okay to, like, to pass it off to someone else that you know can help. You know, people need boundaries. I have them too. It's not like, you know, I don't have them. Of course I have them. Yeah. You know, I only let people take me so far and then I'm like, okay, you know, this, I can step out of it and go, you know, I've had to have that conversation. I've done everything I can for you. You need to start helping yourself. You need to start doing, you know, these things. I think it's also on that person too, you know, but as much as I'm willing to give everything of myself there, I'm also not willing to like put myself in harm's way physically, emotionally, as far as, you know, as much as I can. But you always have to have boundaries with people. Just because I'm super open and friendly and I will, you know, do for you, it doesn't mean you shouldn't have boundaries. You have to have boundaries.
So I think too, so a lot of times we're afraid that we're gonna, that people are gonna hurt us.
Right.
But I think too, there's a fear that we're gonna hurt somebody else.
Right, right.
And I think we need to understand too and go into it knowing, yes, we will let people down.
Oh,
we cannot be all and do all for everyone.
Yes.
We cannot be their savior.
Absolutely not.
And we will disappoint people.
Yes.
We can only go so far. We can only give so much. And I think once we realize those two things, they will hurt us and we will hurt them, but we're going to try.
Yeah.
And we're going to go for it. And we're going to work this out.
Yes.
And we're going to you know, be in this community together for the what for the greater good, you know,
right.
for whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish, you know, whether it's at work or at you know, the PTA board, you know, the
right.
other moms or the a church or whatever it is, you know, that
yeah.
you're trying to accomplish, that okay, we realize these things and we're gonna do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I always go into things, I mean, I always remind myself, I can't save anybody. Like I can't, you know, I don't have the answers. To be honest, that's just the way I go into it. Like I'm just going to be there for you. It doesn't mean I'm going to have the answer. It doesn't mean things are going to work out. It doesn't mean, you know, but for me, a huge boundary is remembering that I cannot save anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot, you know, but God can through me.
Right.
That God can do the impossible. Like I can't do the impossible, but God can, you know? And so I think remembering that it's one thing to like have, you know, try and be there for someone. It's another whenever you go into it, God, I'm going to save you. And, you know, you ain't going to
yeah.
lose nothing. And I mean, that's like, that's ridiculous. That's setting yourself up to fail big time
for, sure.
for yourself and for that person. Like you're just, you know, you just, you know, stop that right there. But, you know, and I think I keep it pretty simple as far as, you know, just being able to just connect with someone. And sometimes it's just that saying hi, being friendly and, you know, how's it going? And stuff like that. And other times it's more intense and you're sitting in a hospital room with somebody, but you're the only one there with that person because they had nobody else.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought you had something. You were about to say something earlier.
No, I was thinking earlier, like healthy boundaries doesn't mean you're cutting yourself off socially.
Absolutely.
There's lots of opportunity for those healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
Whereas like someone antisocial or someone who is not as social like me, I have, I guess, unhealthy boundaries.
Yeah, there's
where I'm like,
yeah.
you're a little further away before you even get to like
yeah.
social.
social.
I think
awful. I'm working on that.
I think, Esther, you said a great word like, but I'm going to try.
Yes.
You know, and that may look differently for each one of us, right?
Yeah.
And how we engage others. But I think that, and I don't know, and you guys may agree with me or disagree with me on this, but I feel like the lack of trying like gets people to a place to disconnect
yes.
and leave communities.
Absolutely.
Like leave churches because they, you know, and you know, they maybe have made like the lack of trying of connecting, or at some point, whether they get hurt within the relationships
yeah.
at church, they stop trying
yeah.
and then they disengage and try to find somewhere
yeah.
else like to go that. And I think part of saying, hey, I'm going to try and I'm going to be committed
yeah.
like to this church or even work, right? Like, I mean, I see resumes all the time, guys. And, you know, I see people like quit jobs like after 6 months, after a year. And that's the norm like
right.
today.
Right.
And so where, you know, before like people like, stayed at jobs like 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, 20 years. That's not normal anymore. I don't
yeah.
see that anymore. And so I think people disengage from their workplace or churches or those type of groups because a lack of trying sometimes.
Yeah.
They say, hey, I'm not committed to this.
Well, and realizing too that there's no perfect community.
Right.
Right.
Like every
there's
community
not.
You walk into, every workplace, every church, every group you walk into is going to be imperfect, and you just have to decide that those imperfections are worth your effort.
Yeah.
You know, and because what you're going to actually find is, you know, a deeper community, and you're going to be able to overlook, and you're going to be able to, you know, forgive, you know, a little bit of crazy, you know, and a little bit of okay, you know.
A little bit of boring,
yeah,
a little bit of crazy.
A little bit of boring, a little bit of crazy, and you're going to be able to go beyond that.
Yeah.
Into the deeper parts of unity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way to to have the fruit of the Spirit without it. Like, I mean, you know, forgiveness and long-suffering and love. I mean, yeah, that's what community is. Like, there's you can't do that by yourself. Like, you want to love and you want to do well. Part of that, I mean, the wholeness of that is you need people to do that. Like, you know, people always say, but I want to love and do well. You need people for that,
right?
You know, you can't just like long suffering is like, you know, we don't want to talk about it, but it's forgiveness, like deep, like not, and you're still your friend, and you're still right. friends.
You still work through
and
it.
And you still work through it. Yeah. yeah. I mean, that's.
I mean,
yeah.
I know, like, even, and I'll just use as an example, but like, even yesterday, like, David, like, he called me and we talked about some things, and I, I even told him, like, hey, I don't agree with you. Like, I don't agree with this. And he said, well, this is why I think. And I'm like, well, I still don't agree with you. And we went back and forth until we finally got to a place to say, okay.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move forward like this, yeah. you know. And even within the worship team, like, there's been times to where, you know, there's, you know, especially because it's a creative group of people,
yeah.
and there's going to be like butting of heads sure. sometimes, you know. And so
yeah.
and part of that is saying, hey, you know, and I've even told, you know all the groups, saying, hey, this is like, this is a safe place for us to do that. Like,
yeah.
if we disagree, like,
definitely.
It's okay for us to do that.
It
because
should be the safest place.
It's a safe place to do that.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't agree with how I'm singing this or playing this or vice versa with everyone, like, we have the platform to tell each other, hey, that does not sound good.
Yeah.
Or you need to work on this. Or, hey, stop complaining or stop doing this and talk to each other about it. But yeah, but obviously there's always a boundary line that you don't want to cross, because once you cross that, like, you can start like hurting someone.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
Yeah,
just
to
hurt.
Hurt.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we recognize that, hey, there's a boundary, but there's also a safe, like, a safe zone
yeah.
for us to work within.
Yes.
Right. Because when, if everyone in the group understands that the ultimate goal is to better the entire group.
Yeah.
And everyone trusts each other. And you can't get trust if you just constantly get in a disagreement and leave.
Right.
Like, there's no trust there.
Yeah.
So in a group, you have to have that trust that says, okay, I trust that where you're coming from is, your goal is for the entire group to be better.
Right.
And so when I understand that, and I'm like, okay, if you're telling me I'm off key or my harmony stinks, let me see what I can do, or maybe I'll not do it at that time, whatever. So we can go from that place, but you have to have that starting point
right.
of trust, and that we're all at the same goal. Like, we
right.
all have the same
but like
purpose.
In the same token, right? Like we don't want to create a group to where everything's always great. Because if I never tell you, hey, that
yeah,
was bad.
That's not authentic
either. And so I feel like, too, like, in speaking of community, right? Like, if we just walk around,
fight sometimes.
If we walk around in church, like,
you've
on Sundays, right? And just
yeah.
say, hey, things are great, you know, and just hug and love and not like, and not be genuine about like our struggles, then we don't have an authentic community either.
Yeah. I mean, Esther and I have had plenty of fights. Like, you know, I think your relationships can grow from that. Like, I feel like my most authentic and genuine relationships, that we don't judge each other, we love each other, are, you know, our relationships that, you know, we have fought. We disagree a lot. Like, we don't see eye to eye, but we love each other and we get through it. Like,
right.
I can appreciate the heck out of her point of view, you know, now, after all these years, you know. But, you know, it has to be really, you have to really be selfless in that and you know, be open to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, you have a point of view that, you know, I don't have, and it sounds ridiculous, and I think you're ridiculous, but, you know, you're still a
but
value.
I know that you love me.
Yes.
Right.
You want what's best for me. So
yeah.
let me rethink that.
yeah.
But so,
yeah.
It's like, you know, like when Esther tells me, like, hey, that didn't sound really good. Like,
yeah.
you know, you were flat. Well, she's telling me, like, she's telling me because she loves me.
And I don't want you to look bad.
And she doesn't want
yeah.
me to look bad. You know?
You
Dave, you had
yeah.
something?
Sorry. Well, I feel like you're getting into the part of, like, the community that I contribute to. like, honestly, like, I love facilitating those types of conversations because I can take your conflict, you know, and I can moderate it to where, like, it can be a loving conflict. And that's, like, not my passion.
Yeah, you've done that a lot, too. I've noticed that you say, okay, you're saying this and you're saying that. So let's meet in the middle. How can
I feel like
we solve it?
That is my role.
That's
in
awesome.
The community.
There you go.
You know, like, I love facilitating those conversations. I love preparing the room you guys were talking about earlier. And I love being able to be the guy to help the conflict, like, happen in a loving way.
Right,
I love
right.
that loving zone of conflict.
Yeah, we definitely need those people.
Because that's like my bread and butter.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I love being a part of those conversations because I always see both sides of the argument. Like, for any argument, like, I see both sides, and I'm like, no, they have merit, you have merit, this is
like a validating book. You're right.
In the middle.
And here's where it all intersects, and right. here's a solution, because I love creatively thinking around these problems and finding out ways that we can continue to lovingly commune in unity, you know, and solve this problem and not being
right,
jarring.
In a constant state of
conflict.
Yeah,
or grating against
yeah,
each other
yeah.
always.
Yeah.
I like that.
I mean, it's, you know, relationships are messy, dude. Like, they are.
Yeah, they are.
They just are. They're messy, and they can be, you know, frustrating, and they can be exhausting, but it's always going to be worth it. It's always going to be worth it, you know, to get through those things and to grow in those things and just grow. I think we grow more in community, as a community, as a church community, out of conflict, out of, you know,
for sure.
out of things that went wrong, out of, you know, fails. I think I've learned more out of my fails than I do out of my victories, because it took the fails to get to really great relationships. It took, you know, oh, okay, I get that. You know, like that's not a good relationship. That's not a healthy relationship, to get to places in my life when, man, I've got really healthy relationships, you know, I didn't mean to hit you, but with this one, you know what I mean? Because she's sitting here and we have a really good relationship, healthy relationship and friendships. And sometimes, you know, it's for me anyway, like if we're talking about church community, being able to come back from some crap mm-hmm. has made us stronger. I think we've seen that where it's made us stronger and made us more tight knit and made us be able to welcome mess in, because
we're not afraid of it.
Like I remember telling your dad, I was like, he's like, oh, you know, we talked about crazies, and I'm like, I learn from crazy. Like I learn, you know, you kind of, you know, so.
So let me ask you this question. I know we're kind of getting up to our time, but I feel like it's like super important, like to this. But knowing you and knowing your family, like knowing your mom and your dad, I feel like your mom is like in that same vein, right? Of being extremely friendly. Like she's never met a stranger. She's, you know, some of the people like in her, like even in our church today are because your mom befriended them, you know? And so, is that something that was passed down to you? Like, did you learn that from your mom and its importance, or is that something that, you know, is it caught? Do you think it's inherited? Do you think like that's something that your mom just passed down to you? Is something as important? Like, what are your thoughts around that?
I think, you know, it's important to her, so it did become important to me. Just, you know, it's caught, but it's also something that you have to, you know, do. Like, you know, and I've seen her get hurt, very hurt, and I've also seen her, you know, but she keeps going. Like, everybody is of value to her, everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and so that, I mean, I was telling Esther, like, I would just like to have lunch with her where she's not, like, trying to talk to the waitress and, like, be like, you know, are all your needs met? Like, she's just, I'm just like, okay, you know, but I think no matter, you know, but I've seen people that are super friendly and they just love people that caught it because their parents didn't have it and they needed community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think for my mom and I, our community is just all the strangers. Like, it's all the people that, you know, that we come across. It is our community.
Yeah.
Like, we just bring them in and, you know, and just love on them and hope that, you know, I just feel like every time I meet someone, it's never for nothing. It's always for something.
For sure.
There's always worth in it, you know? If it's not just for me, but for that person. Like, I have to value myself too enough to, you know, value someone else also. Like, I need to value, you know, that, hey, I'm a value to you and you're a value to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've got something to bring, and
that's awesome.
And you need love, like, just like I do, you know? But yeah, my mom is definitely someone who I, you know, who I look up to in that, you know, because I know that she just loves everybody. I mean, she's crazy, but, you know, I mean, I've never met anybody who will just like stop and just talk to the guy down the street, you know, who, you know, looks mean and nasty that even I wouldn't talk to.
Yeah.
But she is willing to reach out to.
She goes up and hugs
him. Oh, man. Like, I'm just like, man, she is savage when it comes to that. Like, she don't play. She's like, awesome. Everybody is of value to her, yeah. You know, and because everybody is of value to God.
Yeah.
It's just the most important lesson, I think.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Thank you for listening to Over for Coffee. Please join the discussion over on our Facebook page by sharing your stories of community. We would love to hear from you. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sponsoring our next cup of creative coffee by donating on our website, overforcoffee.com. Don't forget to comment, like, and share each episode with your friends.